Welcome, everyone, to the Standout Job Seeker podcast presented by JobScan. I'm your host, Sydney Myers, and in this episode, I interviewed Jamie Chambrin. Jamie's the founder of Career Agility Systems. She's a career coach. She's also a top career development coaching voice on LinkedIn and a certified LinkedIn optimization expert. So, what did we talk about? LinkedIn optimization. This is one area that I think a lot of job seekers overlook or maybe don't understand the full value of it, but it really is such an important part of your job search. And it doesn't take that much time, not as much time as optimizing your resume for every single interview, which is still important, but LinkedIn optimization doesn't take as long. So we talked about how to do that. We went through your headline, your summary, skills, basically every single part of your LinkedIn profile. So you'll get tips on how to improve each section so that you can be found by recruiters who are sourcing candidates for jobs that you might not even know about, and how you can look good for a recruiter or hiring manager that's evaluating you for a job that you've applied for. So you'll get some really practical, helpful tips on how to create the best LinkedIn profile. And Jamie certainly knows all about this. This is what she does professionally. She's a certified expert. So her advice is going to be really helpful. We even talked about networking a little bit, getting recommendations. So this episode is going to be really helpful. And speaking of LinkedIn optimization, I want to tell y'all that, so if you don't know, JobScan has a LinkedIn optimization tool. We'll scan your profile and the jobs you want to apply for, and we'll tell you how to create the best profile for those jobs. Well, we recently updated that tool. So it got a new look and feel. Everything looks all modern. That's great. But there's also new features. We're able to check new things now to make sure that your profile is in tip-top shape. There's also some new AI features to help you write your LinkedIn summary or your about section and your headline. And the whole process in general is a lot easier. Used to, you would have to sign into LinkedIn and then download your profile and upload this file. And it was like kind of complicated. Now it's a lot more simple. So if you haven't used our LinkedIn optimization tool yet, I encourage you to check it out. It just got a complete refresh. So it's even more helpful than it already was. But enjoy this episode. You're going to get a lot of helpful tips, and follow Jamie on LinkedIn. If you're not already, follow JobScan on LinkedIn for more tips on your job search, and so you don't miss an episode. If you enjoy this episode, give us a rating on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, wherever you're listening. Thank you for listening. Let's get to this interview now. Well, Jamie, thank you so much for joining. I'm really looking forward to this conversation about LinkedIn. But I wanted to start first with just your background to see kind of where you're coming from. What made you choose LinkedIn as a specialty? How do you usually help job seekers with that? What's your expertise there?
Yeah. Thanks for having me today. So I've used LinkedIn for years, just professionally and networking and building awareness of what I do and who I am. But I found as I launched my career coaching and personal branding business that LinkedIn, even years ago, became the main database recruiters use. About 92%, and it's probably higher now, recruiters use LinkedIn as the database where they're going to source talent. And so as I, grew my capabilities and what I do to service my clients, one of the things I invested in, probably 18 months ago now, is becoming LinkedIn certified. So there's an organization that I'm part of in the industry that stays on top of the LinkedIn algorithms and the different changes to features. And now annually I go through and get recertified on the best practices and how to optimize a profile or knowing the ins and outs so that, the clients I work with can be seen on LinkedIn.
Okay. Yeah. That's one thing that I've found is very common too, is that recruiters use LinkedIn in evaluating candidates or even just sourcing candidates, even if you haven't applied yet, which kind of goes to which is a good segue for what I wanted to go into is first just establishing if whether or not LinkedIn is actually important in the job search. Like, does it even make a difference if I have an optimized profile? What have you found about that? Like, what role does LinkedIn play in the job search?
Yeah, no, it plays two main roles. So to what you were just saying, it's the place where there's a lot of time. So it's back to, if you heard of the 20-80 rule, 20% of jobs are posted online, but 80% are sourced via recruiters, they're sourced via headhunting agencies, or they're sourced just because they're not jobs that have been posted, but people are going to network to find out about the jobs. And so LinkedIn is really important to be sourced for that hidden job market, number one. But the second reason is if, say, a recruiter is looking at a stack of resumes to determine who to pull in for initial interviews, they are hands down going to go look at your LinkedIn profile and look at what's on the profile. And even more importantly, your social proof. So what recommendations do you have on your profile? Because oftentimes, if you're up against some really strong candidates and a few of them have really great recommendations for past jobs, past performance, the recruiter will hands down pick those with great recommendations on their profile versus those that don't.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So I would definitely agree with that. Just like, not I'm not a recruiter, but being someone who hires people, I always look at the LinkedIn profile. I was talking to a coworker about this the other day, how it's always strange to me when someone doesn't have a LinkedIn profile, because it just feels so standard. And I'm like, if you don't have a LinkedIn profile, you don't exist. Like, it's strange to me. And it might sound weird for job seekers, because it's like, I give you a resume, like that has everything you need, but it's like, you just, like you said, there's so many applicants, you want as much information you can get. So I go to the LinkedIn profile. If they have a website, I go to the website. I look at their, if I'm hiring writers, I look at their writing samples, like as much information as possible. And it sounds like that's kind of the experience that you've had too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So then, okay. So you talked about how there's two parts of it, being sourced and then being evaluated. So how can job seekers optimize their profile for both? Are there different points of emphasis for both of those, or do all of the same principles apply?
Yeah, that's a great question. So definitely, if you're looking to be sourced, what recruiters are using is the recruiter side of LinkedIn. It's a tool that recruiters pay for. And the algorithms are looking at predominantly, and the first things a recruiter is going to see in the search results is your headline and your last two job titles. And so what's really important is if you're looking for a job, that your target job title or target job titles are in your headline and are in your last few job titles, both for the algorithm, but also for the recruiter to understand you can do this, you've been there, you have this experience, and because they're going to get a page of, say, the top 10. And if you show up in that top 10, it's because you've optimized those pieces, and also your skills is going to be important as well in terms of the algorithm.
Yeah. Okay. So the headline then is crucial.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I've seen definitely a lot of emphasis on the headline. Like, we have the articles, and like LinkedIn headline is a highly searched for topic. People want help with that. What's like, okay, so then the key there is having your job title in the headline. Are there other keys, like putting skills or certifications? Like, what are the most important things that you've seen that are most helpful to have in the headline?
Yeah, so you can definitely highlight key skills. What I normally do for clients where I work on their LinkedIn profile is I work to include what I build with them, their personal brand promise. So what they do for whom and the value they provide. So it's catching and it's clear, you know, the target industry you may be looking at, the key skills, you know, the what you do. And then, like, are you helping grow revenue? Are you helping save costs? Are you, like, what is it that you're doing, the value add that someone would go like, oh, I want to learn more about you and be intrigued to like double click and look at your about or look at some other parts of your profile.
Okay, interesting. So that makes me think, what if a person is maybe entry level or like wants to move up, like maybe move into a manager or executive role, but they haven't so far, they've been like an individual contributor or something. Basically, what if they think that I haven't had the kind of career yet where I could even like have a personal brand or show those kinds of values? Is that a valid concern, or how do you approach that?
Yeah. So I see everyone as a service to others. And that means there is something that you're offering even today, just coming out of college, in terms of what skills did you gain? Did you have any internships where you gained project management skills, or look at the soft skills that you've gained over, you know, your education and some of the hard skills? So I look at that. And then also like some tricks to the trade is maybe you're not at the manager level yet, but maybe you report to a manager. So you can, in your job titles, note like report to manager of X. So just some little tricks to get around the I may not be a manager. The other thing you also say mm-hmm. too is in your headline is marketing associate aspiring to become a chief marketing officer or a head of, like, you can put some aspirational things into your personal brand as well. You don't have to be what you've done over and over again. It can be talking about some of your aspirations. So again, people see where you're headed. If you've got some high level goals in mind, it does not have to be like what you've done. There's a different ways to pull your brand together and to showcase it on LinkedIn. And for a lot of young professionals, it may just be more of an aspirational brand at this point.
Yeah. Okay. So then like, I guess this is why it's so important in this context to have those career goals, because once you have the goal, then you can identify things you need to do to work towards them. And like, maybe you could highlight those things in the headline. So I'm thinking of maybe you're currently getting a degree in a field, or just doing any kind of training or learning or whatever it is you're doing to work towards those goals. You could also cite that. So like, you're not there yet, but they know that you're actively gaining the skills and knowledge that you would need to get there.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why I always recommend to, like, in the education section, even if your degree isn't done, to note it's in progress, because that is a piece to LinkedIn to a filter is if you have a degree or, you know, and how long ago it's been in getting the degree. So that's important to include as well.
Okay. So then what about the other part of, well, I guess let me make sure I've covered everything on this. So we're on the topic of recruiters using LinkedIn to source candidates, people who haven't even applied for a job yet. We talked about the headline and your last two job titles. Is there anything else that job seekers can do to be found for, like what you were talking about, the hidden job market?
Those are the key things. Make sure your skills are relevant and up to date as well. So I find, say, people mid-career who built their profile maybe 7-8 years ago, they haven't pruned out individual contributor skills and added in skills around leadership or strategy or more senior level skills. And so there's definitely a need to prune skills and add skills that are more relevant to where you're going in your career. Because a lot of times you might be wondering, well, why am I getting called again for an engineering role when I'm a IT director now? Well, it's because of the skills and the language that's you've left in your LinkedIn profile that you haven't updated in a few years.
Okay. Yeah. I see that a lot too. When looking at candidates or just anybody in general, like some of their work experience, some of the job titles are like really filled out with the responsibilities and skills. And then some of them, there's like no information. And I guess if you're not actively applying for a job or looking for a job, then obviously it's not going to hurt you. But like, fill out everything, like have information in all of those, because it's just more things that that search engine or, you know, the tool that recruiters use can pick up to find you. Yeah.
Yep, absolutely.
So then, okay, so the other side of LinkedIn is candidates being evaluated for a role that they have applied for. What have you noticed that makes the biggest difference there in optimizing or just creating a great LinkedIn profile for that?
Yeah, so there's a few things and a few tips as well on if the job you're being a candidate for, you applied via LinkedIn. So I think I may have mentioned earlier recommendations. So that social proof of other people denoting you were great to work with, you're a great boss, you're a great, you name it, employer X, that will go far if they're trying to stack rank who they're going to bring in for initial interviews. Having a little bit of background on your about, like what got you to where you are to add to your about section. They're not going to double click into a lot because, I mean, there's a lot that could be on a LinkedIn page, but when they're looking at you, you know, they're going to look at, is your profile aligned to your resume, right? Just little things like that. Is everything consistent? Now back to the, if you applied to a job on LinkedIn, you actually want to do a few things. So this is back to the algorithm. You want to do a few things before you actually apply via the easy apply button. And that's following the company that you're going to apply to the job to and ringing the bell of that company. So that actually gives you a few more points because it's showing that you're interested in the company before you apply on LinkedIn. Also having people networked in your network that work for the company will give you additional points as well. So building your network, you know, even if it's cold networking, finding people who are, say, your peers that could be there, those are going to be important things too on LinkedIn.
Yeah. So totally agree with that one. I'm not sure when it was. It was just recently, but LinkedIn released a new feature for recruiters called some likelihood of interest, I think. And if you are following the company and you have alerts, like job alerts set up, then you get a special tag in that recruiter view that shows that you are more likely to be interested in that job. And so that's kind of a signal to a recruiter. They don't want to waste their time on people who, you know, aren't actually interested. So it might increase your chances of getting contacted. So yeah, that's a really good point. You mentioned getting recommendations. Totally agree with that one, also in being someone that hires people. But even for me personally, I don't know how to get recommendations. Like, I don't know if it just feels, if it makes me feel uncomfortable, but how do job seekers get recommendations? What do you usually suggest in the clients that you work with?
Yeah. So the biggest thing is, one, pre-write the recommendation. A lot of people are busy. Or at least when you go make the ask on LinkedIn to say, hey, with love, it was great working with you. I'd love a recommendation. I'd be happy to draft it for you. But what to maybe do first is to give recommendations to those you're looking for recommendations. Give first before asking for the favor in return. And you may not need to ask if you proactively do a recommendation on someone else's profile that you really respected. It was a great relationship. I mean, and it doesn't need to be just, this is back to the young professional, doesn't need to be colleagues and bosses. It can be professors. It could be classmates, because there are categories. It could be clients. There are different categories of relationships when you do look at asking for recommendations.
Okay, interesting. The giving first, I think that's great. So I was thinking one thing that you could do is like when you ask for, like, I don't know how to say this, but like, just be honest, like, I'm trying to grow my career. Would you mind giving a recommendation? It would really help me in doing whatever. Is it like that? Or do you have to be like really sort of passive about it? Like, hey, would you mind leaving a recommendation? Like, Have you found an approach, the direct approach, or just sort of the non-passive, like, I don't really care, but I'm asking anyway kind of thing?
I think everyone is different and you need to be authentic in how you make the ask. And I also think giving the why is important, because maybe your former boss doesn't realize you're in between jobs and really needs the recommendation just to help with getting yourself out there. Young professionals, right? Professors, colleagues, classmates, anyone that you feel valued your work is important. And I always say, be authentic, be transparent, and, you know, provide the why.
Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. Authenticity probably always best anyways. Now you said that whenever you ask for the recommendation, maybe even write it for them, which I was like, whoa, that sounds like really gutsy. But is that just me being afraid, or is that like people actually appreciate that if you write it for them or offer to write it for them?
I think for especially executives and managers, they're knowing that there's one less thing for them to do, and just to kind of maybe wordsmith it, put it in their own words, will help them than starting with a blank sheet of paper.
Interesting. Okay. I would not have had the guts to do that, but I mean, I'm sure like the clients you work with, this is what works. So yeah, that's an interesting tip. So then let me get into the psychological part of this. What if a person is kind of like me, just really uncomfortable with this situation? Is your like pep talk there usually just like, just do it? It's not as awkward as you think it is. People really don't mind doing this. Like, do people have that challenge whenever you're talking about this with them?
Yeah. And so one of the things I do to help with accountability and making progress is to oftentimes just start a spreadsheet and to go, okay, every day this week, your goal, or maybe by the end of the week, you have asked for 2 recommendations. You have made 2 cold outreach emails to try and meet someone else in the industry. So I make it more of a checklist. And just more of a like, go do it. Okay. And see and get comfortable. Like, don't overdo it. Just do 1 or 2 to start. See what the response is. The response is going to reinforce, oh, this can work. This is working. I will do more of this. So you just got to, it helped like take baby steps to build the confidence and get out there.
Yeah, I like that. Okay, yeah. Like, just try it once and then you'll see like that it does work, but you got to try it. Okay. So then all this put together, I'm curious, in the clients that you work with, because you do career, like general career coaching, and then you also specifically work on resumes and helping people with this, their LinkedIn profile. So have you seen a noticeable success rate for those who do all of this with their LinkedIn profile and get recommendations compared to those who don't do it, or maybe don't do it as much as others?
Absolutely. I've had my clients who followed all the steps, did their LinkedIn updates. I'll see it accelerates the time for them to land. And I've had clients recently where they landed once we had everything polished and optimized and starting to getting the recommendations on their profile, they landed within 2 or 3 months. Like, an average job search nowadays is 6 to 9 months, and even more. That's an average stat from, and it probably depends on the industry you're in, but that's the average stat it's been for the last few years. But in some industries, it's even 9 to 12 months. So, you know, doing all the right things to get your LinkedIn profile optimized so you can be found, so you can set yourself apart when you apply to jobs, that's really important.
Yeah. Okay. That's interesting. So that lines up with the data that we found too. So we looked at almost 1 million job applications and looked at a bunch of different variables. And we found that those that did optimize their LinkedIn profile, they had a much higher interview rate. So interesting. You've seen the same thing there. So then connected to that, so we know now that it works, this is important, but job seekers might still feel overwhelmed by the idea. How do you know about how long it takes to do this work of optimizing their LinkedIn profile, trying to find something to like make it feel more approachable to them? What's the time investment usually?
So depending on how clear they are on target job and their personal brand. If that is laser clear, that's usually happens when I'm in the resume rewrite process and I do the resume first. When I get to the LinkedIn step to create the content for someone's profile, now granted, I do this all the time. It takes me 20, 30 minutes. Okay. And then it's just copying and pasting content into different parts of the profile. Updating skills can get tedious because you can have up to 100 skills.
Wow.
Yeah, they changed it from 50 to 100. So that can get tedious. But when I have some people leverage my service where we'll go in and do the updates for you. And so my customer care manager won't even take an hour to take the content I wrote out and populate someone's profile. So maybe you're looking at, if you're doing it yourself, if you're clear on your job search, where you're going, your resume is solid, you've got a story. It's really just taking parts of your resume, thinking about your one-line statement. Maybe it's an hour and a half exercise from soup to nuts, 2 hours. Mm-hmm. And I would focus on just a few key areas first. So maybe spend 30 minutes on figuring out what's your headline. What's your few job titles? Getting your experiences up to date. Pick a few bullet points for each experience versus copy and pasting your whole resume in there. So I think there's ways you can chip away at it. Maybe another 30 minutes is then tackling the skill section, because there's a method to the ordering of the skills as well. Like the top 10 is most important than the rest of them.
Okay. Interesting. You mentioned that you can add up to 100. Is that best practice? Because my initial reaction was like, ooh, wouldn't it be better to have like a shorter targeted list of skills? But do you find that it's better to just list all of them, all the ones that you have?
Well, it's not so much list all the ones you have. For LinkedIn, it's about what are you seeing are the skills tied to jobs? And there is a LinkedIn database of job titles to skills, but recruiters are going to add skills that isn't in the database. And so it's more about when you're seeing the jobs of interest, are those the skills you have? And if you don't have that skill on your profile, you should go add it to your profile. So there's a little homework in that step not laundry list everything. Now, if you've got some really unique things, that skills, definitely add those, because there might be searches that you're going to pop up on because you've got something not many people know how to do.
Okay. Yeah, interesting. Okay, so we're talking like a few hours shorter if you're working with a coach that's experienced with it. Do you find that AI can be helpful for things like writing the headline or writing various parts of it? Have you found any help with that?
So I think it helps if you're a completely... can't think of the content, like your about section. If you can't think of what to put in there or what to start with, or maybe you, and there is AI embedded in LinkedIn where you can have it create some content, but I would never use that verbatim. You need to put it in your own words, put it in your own voice. Because if you just use what they're using or ChatGPT, there's going to be other people out there with the same exact.
Yeah, that's true. Or the same exact voice, you know, because it was all, if you think of like the AI as a person, it's all written by the same person. So it's going to sound the same. So right. Yeah, you got to pick your own voice. That makes sense. Okay. Yeah. And I kind of say the same thing, like JobScan has AI tools that'll write like resume bullet points. But I always tell people like use it as inspiration of like, oh, that's how I can talk about that skill, or that's what I can say about myself. Sometimes it is good enough to copy paste, but always think about like putting your voice to it and making sure it's really tailored for you. So yeah, that makes sense. Okay, so we have in the last few minutes here, I want to touch at least a little bit on the topic of networking that's very popular with LinkedIn. What are like the easiest ways for job seekers to get started with that idea? Like, what is networking? How do I do it without feeling like I'm just bothering people?
Yeah. So first, it could be just joining some special interest groups where you can find other people with similar interests, see who engages in that group that maybe you engage with them publicly. If you like what they're talking about, then maybe connect with them or send them an email about, hey, I love your point of view. I'd love to, you know, I always tell my clients to go ask for informational interviews, which is where you're going to go and just one-on-ones, get to know someone authentically than just sending a bunch of spam messages. So that's what I would do is like, if you see people that maybe they're in a company you're really interested to learn more about and they hold the job title you want next, maybe you go talk to them and ask them about the organization and learn more, learn how they got there, right? So you want to come into it as LinkedIn is just a way to connect a dot. And then you need to take it further in terms of how you want to build that relationship, getting to know the person, getting to find more info on where you're going in your career, et cetera.
Okay. Yeah. I love the idea of informational interviews. I think it is, in my opinion of like kind of being an introvert, it is the easiest way to do that whole networking thing because it gives me a really valid reason to reach out to someone and have a conversation. And I learned something about, you know, whatever it is, the job that I want to get, but I also make a really natural connection with someone. So yeah, informational interviews. I love that idea. I think that could be so helpful. Okay. So this has been amazing. I think the talk about like optimizing the LinkedIn profile, it is kind of simple. Like you said, it could only take a couple of hours, but it really can't be overlooked. It is used by recruiters, by the hiring managers. So thank you so much for sharing your expertise there. And you actually do this professionally, helping people with LinkedIn. So please share where they can find you, how to connect with you, what you offer to job seekers.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the best place to find me is on LinkedIn. You just look up my at LinkedIn/in, and it's my last name, Chambron, Chambron. Best way to find me is on LinkedIn.
Okay, awesome. Thank you. Thank you so much for your time. I hope everyone enjoyed it. This was really great.
Thank you for having me.